Our study tonight is out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, nurture in ministering effectively to fellow believers in the local church. When Paul wrote the prison epistles of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon, the fact that he was in prison troubled believers. We get this from reading in between the lines in Philippians 1, 12 to 13, Colossians 2, 1 and 2, Colossians 4, 7 and 8, Philemon 22. Paul kept giving hints that he was okay, and he kept trying to explain how God was working through his imprisonment to help. So he was trying to settle Christians down who were concerned, obviously. Well, to nurture his readers, Paul urged them to apply their edifying positional truths in Christ to how they related to one another, and one area was that of effective service with the use of spiritual gifts. This is an important area because a lot of times Christians will look at themselves, or they'll look at one another, and they'll evaluate themselves in terms of human criteria. And of course, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses from a human standpoint. And if you look at a person just from a human standpoint, you can really have some doubts. The Apostle Paul, for example, was criticized by Christians because they said that his letters were powerful, but his bodily presence was contemptible. And so that's how they judged him in a negative sense. So the question is, how are we supposed to minister effectively to one another? So we view the instruction that Paul provides here for edification as a local body of believers. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, then we'll get into his word. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage that we're going to be covering tonight. We ask for wisdom to understand the text, use it, and then to apply it. All for the glory of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. But unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, we know that Jesus revealed in John chapter 15, verse 5, that one's efforts to minister on the spiritual plane, even in a local church setting, would be futile if he were to rely on his innate natural abilities. You remember that passage in John 15, verse 5, it says, abide in me, and my words abide in you, and so forth. And he said that without the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 5, he said, abide in me, and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I take that in service, Christian service as well. If you don't rely upon the Lord, if you're not abiding in Christ, fellowship with him, we can't do anything. And that's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 to fan into flame or to utilize the gift that God had given him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7, he said, fan that gift into flame. For God has not given us the power, a spirit of timidity and of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So we need to have spiritual abilities. So to be effective, God directs us to use the spiritual gifts for service that he has given us. That's why I said, wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7 in the notes, where Paul told Timothy to fan into flame the gift that God had given him. And the doctrinal and practical outline of that program is clarified in Ephesians chapter 4, 7 to 16 as follows. Doctrinally, in Christ, God has given every one of us believers with a supernatural spiritual enabling known as a spiritual gift that we might effectively spiritually edify other believers. Verse 7 is a wonderful gift, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every single Christian who knows Christ as a Savior has been given a supernatural enabling in some area. And that believer can be effective, very effective, using that supernatural enabling. Now, this gift has been given as Christ apportioned it. The Greek word is metron, or measure, or as Christ was pleased to measure it out. So each believer is to function in the realm of his gift in God's will, not outside of it, fitting into God's assignment for him in the local church. See, each one of us has been given a measure of this particular gift, and that measure is supposed to fit within a certain ministry, a certain group of people, a certain time. Now, this provision of gifts was doctrinally provided through Christ's great work on the cross. Alluding to Psalm 68:18, Paul taught that when Christ descended into the lower parts of the earth, referring to his death and burial, he wrought victory over sin and Satan's realm. I probably need to give just a slight description about that descending into the lower parts, because one of the creeds, I think it's the Athanasian Creed or one of them, indicates that Christ descended into Hades or into hell at his death and so forth. But we need to correct that. Some have taught that Ephesians 4:9 meant Christ descended to Hades at his death, but on the cross he finished his atonement at his death when he said it is finished in John chapter 19, verse 30. And then he went to paradise according to Luke 23:43. Remember, he told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He didn't say we're going to be in Hades. So the phrase "into the lower parts which belong to the earth" in Ephesians 4:9 is actually a genitive of possession and refers to Christ's death and burial. In other words, the lower parts which belong to the earth. It's the earth's lower parts. So he was buried. Then upon rising from the dead and ascending to the heavens, Jesus Christ, as our great victor, gave spiritual spoils of victory to us believers in the form of spiritual gifts for service. This is a picture of the ancient Near East where a king would be victorious over another king, so he would have spoils of war. They would pick up the spoils, the booty that we would find on the battlefield, and they take it with them, and then they would give out some of this booty as gifts to their friends. And this is what the Lord Jesus did. However, the application of these gifts is set in a two-stage process. Verses 11 and 12, very interesting. First, God has provided starter-type gifts, to coin a word, in the form of apostles, the early church, prophets, early church, and then evangelists, that's a gift that we have today, and pastor teachers today. Now, the word pastor teachers is actually, there's one article for poimen, which is shepherd, pastor, and for didaskalos, teacher. So it's a twofold gift. It's a gift of a person has the ability to pastor. That means to guide, spiritually guide people, and also to teach, to expound God's word. Now, these starter gifts that today comprise evangelists who lead people to Jesus Christ, and pastor teachers who both spiritually lead and also feed local churches God's biblical truths by means of Bible exposition, they are to function towards preparing the rest of the gifted believers in the body in turn to perform the work of the ministry of the local church. Dr. Ryrie, in his footnote at verse 12, says, what you need to do to understand what verse 12 means is take out the commas. If you take the commas, it reads, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, God has designed the local church itself to do the ministry. There are lots of churches today where the pastor and the people think that the one who's supposed to do the ministry is the pastor. Not really. What the pastor is supposed to do is to ignite the other gifts through his spiritual gift and free up the others and equip the others so that they will get involved in ministry and utilize the gifts that they have for serving the Lord and serving one another. And that's when things really take off in a church. So The goal of these starter type gifts is to equip the rest of the body to unify on the true doctrines and practical knowledge of the Son of God so that they can grow in unity in Christ, no longer tossed about by errant teachings by crafty false teachers, but speaking the truth in love. Notice verse 13. This is the goal. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. That would be the doctrinal faith. This is one of the things a pastor's job should be, is to get everybody on the same page as to what we believe. Very important. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is talking about our fellowship with Jesus Christ. He needs to teach people and guide people in how to fellowship with the Lord. Unto a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what Christians sing, grow and stop being little children, grow into the young man status, and then go from there into the father status that's given in 1 John chapter 2. Why? That we henceforth be no more children who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of false doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. One of the main objectives of evangelists and pastors and teachers is to get the truth out to the people of God so that first of all they get saved, and then secondly they grow in Christ so that they're no longer subject to being cast here and there about by all sorts of false doctrines that come up. Because false doctrines have a tendency, tremendous tendency, to inhibit an individual from serving the Lord effectively. Because if you don't have the truth, there's a lot of insecurity that occurs. There's powerlessness because people aren't relying on the Holy Spirit. They don't know how. They don't know that they're supposed to rely on the Lord. So there are lots of problems if they don't have the truth. So the goal of these gifts, especially the starter gifts, I have a starter gift as a pastor teacher, is to ignite the rest of the church through the ministry of the word so that they can mature in the Lord. Now, once that maturity occurs in the rest of the body, all individual believers in the body then function in spiritually edifying ways, with every believer building up every other believer with his spiritual gift in God's power to the edification of the whole local church. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I always love Fellowship Hall after we have our morning worship service. I go back in the Fellowship Hall. I stand off to the side so people know where I am. If they want to ask me questions, they know where to get a hold of me. I stand normally by the food pantry. But I always love looking out across the Fellowship Hall and seeing people igniting one another with their gifts. They're talking it up, they're fellowshipping, they're building one another up. And it's amazing to see this go on. And we have a lady who's going to be joining our church next Sunday. Her name is Jennifer and so forth. And she has noticed in the church that this isn't a situation where people just sit in the pew, they come and they go, and that's it. The people in the church here are active. They're involved in serving the Lord. And she noticed that, and she likes that in her family. Her sons like that as well. And that is neat because that shows us that the Word of God has gotten out into the hearts and the lives of people, and as a result of that, it's turning around and it's functioning through service through the lives of people. And it's showing up so that a newcomer comes and they see that. And to me, that's a thrill. And this is something where we don't beat people over the head about service and everything. It happens. And when people are fed, they minister. And that's what's happening in our body. And I'm very grateful for it. Well, God has positionally invested every believer with a spiritual gift that, if used biblically, will cause him to be an effective servant of the Lord in the ministering to other believers in the local church. So to be effective, may each believer rely on God and his gift to serve in the role that God assigns. I found this lesson to be a tremendous encouragement today when we were examining Jennifer for membership. She was indicating that she is just thrilled with what she sees in the church. And really beside herself with joy. She had lots of positive words. And one of the neat things she said, I read in the bylaws that there's this matter of church discipline where you hold people accountable. And if they get way out of line and do that which is really sinful, you practice church discipline. And so she's asked and she's talked to other people, and they've relayed to her some actual incidents where we have carried out church discipline. And this is new to her. And she was telling us when we were back there with the board, she says, I have tremendous respect for the board that'll actually do something like that. She said, I hope that I never have to have discipline exercised against me. And we said, we hope the same too, of course. But she said, I like the idea that there's accountability, because we need that. We need to check one another in regards to our relationship with the Lord and whether or not we're living lives that are acceptable and righteous before the Lord. And that really thrilled her. Well, here we are. I mean, we're just here trying to practice the Word of God and to obey it. And there are lots of churches today that are afraid to exercise church discipline. They're afraid they're going to have a third of the people walk out and everything, because maybe there's lots of sin around. But here's a lady who is just thrilled that the church here is actually seeking to obey the Lord. And I was encouraged by this as a pastor, because she is very, very up on what she sees going on in our church. She said she was talking with somebody one day about the fact that we don't have that many children's ministries in our church, and there are other churches that will provide more children's ministries. And she told us as a board, she said, my boys who have been exposed to this church, I've been coming now 10 or 11 months, she says, the dramatic change, the spiritual change that has occurred in their lives because of what they're hearing from God's word in this church, she says, that's what my boys need. They need the word of God. She said, sometimes I try to get them to sit straight, and they're fidgety and they're messing around during the service, and I wonder if they're getting anything. I'll go home, and on Thursday or Friday, they'll come up with this question, and they'll say, you know, Pastor Shell said this in the sermon. What does that mean, kind of a thing? And she says, I'm surprised. They're taking it all in. But she says, they're not skipping a beat. And she said, the amazing things that have happened in my boys' lives, it's just amazing. My boys need this. They need the Word of God. So she was just really thrilled. And I was encouraged by this. You see, God wants us to use the spiritual gift. And when we focus on the gift that God has given us, the ability that God has given us, we don't have to worry about human idiosyncrasies or certain personality traits and whatnot. God uses us in spite of the fact that he has this treasure in clay pots. You know, anyone can take a shot at the clay pot. We all are clay pots and we all have weaknesses. But the gift that God has put within us, the spiritual gift, the word of God that he's provided there, the ministry to help other peoples, that's absolutely invaluable. And if we stay with the supernatural enabling, then God will bless us and will be a blessing.